My name is Kelly Morningbull. I am originally from Piikani First Nation, which is part of the Blackfoot Confederacy in southern Alberta. Well, I personally, you know, having to have a family member who was murdered and never sought any justice, I think it's just a day for, you know, our communities to come together either in mourning or recognition of our family members who had passed away, and just a day for us to, I think collectively come together and support one another, but also create awareness on the issues that arise around MMIW. So back in 2003, happened in my community, and I guess at the time it just felt like nothing was being done. There was a lot of nobody was talking, and you know, and now it's been almost, I think, like 15 years, 20 years that he's been gone, and we still continue to hear things in the community, but people aren't ready to come forward and I guess, yeah, just admit, you know, the things that have happened. And so it's just a lot of speculation at this point, but it's impacted my life a lot. It was my uncle who had passed away. We were very, very close. And and I still remember all of, you know, getting the phone call and being the one to have to take that. It all just happened very weird, but I can still remember very clearly the day and sort of afterwards. And so it's just something that's, you know, I feel like I haven't been fully able to close until we sort of see any kind of justice.
How old was he?
35. 34, 35. So I'm 40. So when I hit that age, it was very striking to me that I was at the time the age of my uncle who had passed away, and just, you know, just seeing how young he was, you know, in his time, and he had a small family that he had left behind, and you know, and a lot of them are, they're of age, they're, you know, in college and things like that, and you know, and just missed opportunities that him and his family, you know, never got to do after that.
And you said you remember the day. What day was it?
October 13th
of 2003.
Yeah. And it was around 7 o'clock that we got the phone call, and it was kind of weird. Like, I come from a big family, and you know, when the phone rings, everybody runs to the phone. It was back in the day with landlines, but nobody ran to the phone, and it just kept ringing and ringing and ringing. And then finally I just got up and I answered the phone, and it was his mother-in-law who had reached out and said that he was in the hospital, and you know, he was on life support, and they were looking for my mom. That was his sister. And, you know, so then having to reach out to my mom, who was working at the time, she worked in high school, and so she was busy, and then just having to, you know, go through all of that, and then watching my entire family leave, because I had a son at the time, a small kid. He was two and a half. And they were very close too. And watching all of them sort of leave and go to the hospital, and I never got to say my goodbyes at the time. And I think that was really impactful, and that stayed with me for a long time. And I remember a year after he had passed away, I got really, not sick, but I developed all these hives, and I didn't realize that it was the day that he had passed away, and my body was covered in hives. And that was because I hadn't processed anything. I just held everything in, and that was my way, that was my body's way of letting me know that I was deeply impacted by all of this, and that I had a lot of work to do and healing in order, you know, to get my body right again. But I remember being dismissed by the doctor, and I brought it up, and he just sort of brushed me off and said, I'm not here to be a counselor. You know, here's some Benadryl, and then sort of left me. And that was it. Yeah.
What was going through your head when you picked up that phone and you heard about your uncle?
I guess I didn't want to believe that it was anything horrific, and that it was something that was, you know, he got injured and that it wasn't life threatening and that, you know, so I didn't feel the urgency, but I knew because everybody was sort of getting ready, my entire family, my uncles and my aunties, and everybody was in a panic. And when everybody left, that's when I sort of knew that this was, you know, something bad was going to happen. And I just had to sit in the house by myself and just, you know, wait. And again, it was, you know, the time when everybody had a cell phone so people couldn't contact, you know, or do check-ins, and I just had to wait. And it wasn't until the next day that they had let me know that he had passed away.
And it's years later. How are you doing now, coping with it all?
I mean, I still feel angry, you know, that there's still no justice. My mom and I talk a lot about it, which I think is healing for us. My mom just shared with me recently, we were talking like not even a month ago, and she was sharing the story of her last visit with him. And she also said it was really weird because, you know, he just wanted to go for a drive and he kept stalling and saying, you know, let's just 10 more minutes, 15 more minutes, you know, and then they hugged at the end. And, you know, he told my mom, like, we need to do this more often. And she dropped him off at home. And that was the last time she spoke to him. And I think it was about a week before he had passed away that that had happened. And yeah. And so it was really, I don't know. I remember my last time was he had showed up and he was like, hey, Kelly, do you have $20 I can borrow? And at the time I didn't, you know, I was like 18. 19, and I just remember telling him, oh, I'm really sorry, uncle, I don't have anything. And he said, oh, that's okay, and then he walked out the door, and then that was the last time I saw him.